that God has reserved for his people, for that city for which Abraham looked, and that kingdom for which we look. But there seems to be in this day some unwritten rule that you just don't talk about death. It's not in good taste to preach about death and about judgment and about eternity. Oh, when someone dies for a few days, we consider the subject, and the preacher brings a message of comfort to the family. But death and eternity and judgment is reserved for those days when someone dies. But I think that the subject ought to be dealt with more often. Richard Baxter once said, "I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men." And so I want us to look tonight at the book of Job, chapter 14, in which Job deals with this subject of death, eternity. You know, it's said of Abraham that he dwelt in tents with his sons, looking for a city. He had no place really here to call his own. He owned no property. He was just a sojourner, just passing through, looking for a city, looking for a city, looking for that city built by God. David said this, "I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. And yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's my goal. That's my ambition. That's my desire. And here in this 14th chapter of Job, Job asks some questions. And I've dealt with several of these before, but there's a couple that I want to deal with more fully at the end of the message. So I'll move quickly through the first part of Job 14. And the first question that Job asked follows Job's description of our nothingness. Our nothingness, our frailty. The nothingness of this flesh, the vanity of this flesh. He says in verse 1, man, first of all, is born of a woman. Flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it is. Flesh. And he's short of days. He's of few days. His life at the longest is just a few days. And all of these days are full of trouble. Pain, sickness, heartache, disappointment, disease, pain, tears, full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, temporary. When you grow flowers in your yard, you enjoy them while you can because they ain't going to be there long. Not long. And that's the way it is with us. We're not going to be here long. We come forth like a flower. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of the field. The grass withereth, flower fadeth. Only thing that's eternal is the glory of God, the name of our God. Man's like a flower, and he's cut down. Another descriptive term is man fleeth also as a shadow. Nothing is frail as a shadow. Flimsy and frail and no substance. And that's the way the fleshly life is. He's born of a woman. Just a short time on this earth. So frail. God help me to know how frail I am. That's what David prayed. He knows how frail I am. Teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Cut down like a flower. Fleeth like a shadow. And continueth not, and the place thereof will know it no more. You will be surprised how quickly people forget. And here's his question. Lord God above, God of holiness, and reverence, and power. That's your name, holy and reverent. Almighty, eternal. No beginning of days, no end of days, no pedigree. Eternal God, always the same. Do you open your eyes upon such a one? Do you even look at such trash? Do you care about this trash? This, you're eternal. And man just, you're holy. Man is filthy. Drinks iniquity like water. You're God. He's a product of the flesh. Do you even look at such a one? Sometimes when you're feeling, when we're feeling our importance, it'd be good to read that. David said, Lord, when I consider the heavens, sun, the moon, the stars, the work of thy hands, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? The preachers today preach like God is concerned about this mass of flesh. And I'm sorry, that's just not so. Just not so. But there's one way that I know, undeniably so, that God does look upon some of Adam's race in kindness, in tenderness, in mercy, in love. There's one undeniable way that I know that God does take notice of some of this fallen race. And that is, he gave his son. He gave his son to redeem some of them. That's right. Not all of them. Not all of them. Judas was a son of perdition from the beginning. It'd been better if he'd never been born. Isn't that what it said? Pharaoh was raised up by God to demonstrate his power and might and judgment. Been better if he'd never been born. He was never an object of affection. There are reprobates, born reprobates, born to serve God's purpose, to do his will. Esau sought repentance with tears and never found it because God said, I hate him. I hate him. I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Isn't that what he said? That's so. Unbelievers, he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth continually upon them. Says that in the scripture. And most of this fallen, corrupt, God-hating, Christ-rejecting, Christ-crucifying race is under the wrath and judgment of God, like it was in the days of Noah. That's right. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God looked down from heaven and saw that every imagination of the heart of man was evil continually. And he said to Noah, I'll destroy this world in my wrath and judgment. But Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One of God's sheep. Dost thou open thy eyes upon such a one? Thank God. Thank God. He'll have a people out of every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue unto heaven. Then the second question. You open your eyes upon such a one and bring me into judgment with thee. Now if he'd have said, if Job would have said, do you bring me into judgment before thee? Do you understand that? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And over here in Revelation, John wrote, in Revelation chapter 20, he wrote verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Stand before God. I can understand that. Do you bring me into judgment before you? But that's not what he asked. Do you bring me into judgment with you? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his work, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I understand that kind of judgment. And Job did too. But these are the things that amazed him. He said, do you open your eyes upon one like me? And are you actually going to bring me into judgment with you? With you? Shall I dwell? Shall I stand? Be able to stand in the presence of God? With God? That's what Scripture said. Ephesians 2 talks about us not standing and before Him, but sitting with Him in judgment. He said to the apostles, you're judge of the world. You'll sit on 12 thrones and judge the world. Ephesians 2 talks about what we were. And verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. That's a whole lot different from standing before Him, isn't it? Sitting with Him. Seated with Him. Who shall stand in His presence? Well, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity, who's never sworn deceitfully. Who's that? That's us in Christ. Righteous as He is. With His spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's Son. One other, Revelation 21, if you don't want to turn to it, listen to it. Verse 3. Now here's a different picture. A while ago we saw, John saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And they were judged out of those books, and they were cast into the lake of fire, but those fellows stood before Him. Now here's those who stand with Him. Sit with Him. Listen. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He'll dwell with them. They'll be his people. God will be their God. God will be with them. You bring me into judgment with you. You see what I'm saying? God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No death in hell here, is there? There'll be no more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. The former things have passed away. Oh, how awesome. But that leads to the next question. Verse 4, but who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? How are you going to make me clean? Who shall stand in his presence? He that hath clean hands. But we read a while ago, we're not born with clean hands. Here's a problem. Who can bring a clean thing out of this unclean? Not one. No preacher can do it. No church can do it. No theology can do it. No law can do it. Christ can do it. God is holy and we're unholy. How can we be holy? God is righteous and we're unrighteous. How can we be righteous? God is just and we have sinned. We're deserving of his wrath and judgment and hell. How can he be just and be justified? Christ is the answer. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down here and through his blood, he cleansed us from our sins. By his perfect obedience, he made us righteous. He justified us before God. He took the most unclean and made them clean. The most sinful and made them holy. The weakest and made them strong. The most imperfect and made them perfect. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. He made me see. He made me clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I didn't mean to be rude, but a fellow asked me one time, said, do you believe you'll see John Wesley in heaven? I said, I won't be any more surprised to see him than we'll see you. Isn't that a pretty good answer? John Newton said the most amazing thing he'll experience in heaven is to see himself there. And I'd recommend we quit worrying about Mr. Weston and start thinking about Mr. Mahan and Mr. Pennington, Mr. Howsam, Mr. Eccles, Mr. Trayburn, Mr. Roach. Isn't that right? I'll be amazed to be in heaven. I'll be amazed to see the Apostle Paul in heaven. That murderer? You say, you're talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about a murderer. That's what I'm talking about. Man that killed God's children. And God saved him. And he's going to be in glory. But I'm still going to be amazed. I'll be amazed to see anyone in his presence. Because it takes the power of God to save folks like us. It takes the will of God, the purpose of God, and the blood of God, and the power of God, and the Spirit of God. It takes the very power of heaven to keep us saved. That's right. Not only save us, keep us interested. Keep us saved. Everybody in here is going to hell if he can, but God won't let you. That's just so. Every one of your children. Now listen, I know you got the sweetest children on earth, but if you didn't put some restraints on them, ain't no telling what they'd do. And if God didn't put some restraints on his children, ain't no telling what they'd do. That's right. Restraining grace, prevenient grace. John, you know these words. Saving grace, particular grace, redeeming grace. It's all grace. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? You can walk down 40 aisles and join 40 churches, and it won't put away one sin. But when Christ died on that cross, he put away all the sins of all the elect of all ages. Wiped them clean. And then he comes to another question down here. But let's read some. He says in verse 5, seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. His bounds are set. He can't pass. The day of death is set. God has decreed every second of our lives, and not one more, no matter what you do. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Now watch. There's hope of a tree. If you cut it down, it'll sprout again. A tree can be cut down and fall to the earth and start growing again. It says, here's the reason. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it'll bud, bring forth boughs like a plant. In other words, that tree, God sends a little rain. The water, it grows again. Why? There's life in that tree. The tree, the life of the tree is in the tree. Even after it fell, it still has whatever's left that responds to the water. But man, now here verse 10, but man dies and wasteth away and giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Now wait a minute. If this body, that tree falls to the ground, is life in the tree, and water will make it sprout again. But this man dies, and no life in this body. Life's gone. Spirit, the life of man is in his spirit, not in his body. Somebody says, we have a soul. No, you don't. You are a soul. You have a body. Soul dwelling in. When the soul leaves, the body just goes down and starts getting immediately cold. It'll never, never, ever, 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 ever live again. By any power on your part of the doctors, they'll spend an hour trying to get somebody to live. The spirit's gone. Well, where is he? Well, Paul answered that. He said to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Christ said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. When our loved ones close their eyes here in death, the body's still here, and we tenderly kiss it and love it and put it away and honor it. I hear people say, I don't care what you do with my body. Now, wait a minute. You hold on a minute. I know that's all. That's just talk. But you see, a wife or a husband, these are the hands that they held. And this is the face they touched. They never touched my soul. Touch this body. Somebody comes up and kisses a body. You say, you ought not do that. You do what you want to do. Don't pay attention to people popping off about things they don't know anything about. That body you loved. You see what I'm saying? And you treat it with tenderness and beef and kindness. And put flowers around the grave. That's not paganism. That's affection. You can get so theological accurate, you can be a fool and turn people against you and your God. Be tender where people hurt and where death comes. Be tender. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. And they love that body. They love it. And 2 Corinthians 5, but that's not the soul. But you know, I've never seen a soul. But I have seen some bodies. I've seen some eyes. Soul looks out of the eyes. I know that. But 2 Corinthians 5 says, we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnest to desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. But we that in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. A lot of burdens. The older you get, the more burdens you have. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for that selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest the token of his Spirit. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in this body, while we're at home in this body, I'm not the body, I'm at home in the body. See what he's saying? We're absent from the Lord. We're not in glory. We're here in this body. We walk by faith, not by sight, but we're confident of this and willing, rather, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. And that's when Job says, man dies, and where is he? Where's the life? The life's in the tree there, you see. But the life's not in this body. Life's in the spirit, the soul. I go to be with God. And this body, it decays. It goes back to the dust. As the waters, listen, verse 11, fall, pale from the sea, and flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lies down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Lord, remember me. Now his next question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Shall he live again? Oh, yes. Yes. You know, many of my friends believe strongly that the Lord's coming in their lifetime. But I've known men in the past who believe that, and they died. I hope and pray that he will. That would be wonderful. If he came tonight, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd be glad. I'd be glad to bypass death. I really would. I'd be happy to, and I'd be happy for you to. But we need to remember it's appointed unto men once to die. And we've got to die. We've got to die. There's only one way to get to glory, and that's die. Unless Christ comes. And it's got to come, and we need to prepare for it. Looking to Christ, studying the Word, praying for wisdom, understanding, patience, grace. But we got to die. And he says here, now listen, this is comforting. It'll help you. Now watch, stay with me. All the days of my appointed time, I'm in my appointed time. I'll be 80 pretty soon. How many years beyond that, I do not know. But that's the average age. And all the days of my appointed time will I wait. I'll wait. Looking to him. Trusting him. Believing him. Waiting upon him. I'm waiting for his call. He determines these things. God determines them. I'm glad he does. I'm thankful. My times are all his. And I wait till my change comes. Till I change residences. It's like moving out of an old house into a new one. I'm going to move out of this old house. It's falling down. I'm going to move into a building not made with hands, eternal in heaven. I'll be moving. I'm waiting till the change. Till I change, have places of residence. Till I change where I live. I'm living here. I'm going to someday live with him. And I'll wait. I'll wait. And thou shalt call. Now there are three calls that God and his people, he calls them in regeneration. Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house. He called us one day. Called us by the gospel. He called us by the gospel. He called us to faith. He called your name. I told you about that this morning. He called us. And then someday he's going to call us in death. He'll call us away from this earth. Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the time cometh now is when they that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live." That's regeneration. But one day he's going to call us to leave here. And then he's going to call the third time. He's going to call and this body's going to come out. A new body. That's right. My spirit's going to join this. This body's going to be made new. I'm going to be myself in glory and you're going to be yourself. We're going to recognize and know one another, rejoice to see one another. You know, when Moses and Elijah came down and appeared and talked with Christ, Moses was Moses. This was thousands of years after he died. When Elijah came down, he was Elijah. And this was a long time after he ascended to heaven. And we're going to be us in glory. I'm going to give thanks to him for saving me from my sins. I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm looking forward to seeing people whom I love in a perfect body, just like Christ. I'm going looking forward to, you know, when we see one another, we rejoice in the present. That's what Paul said about the church at Thessalonica. He said, "What is my crown of rejoicing? It's you in the presence of the Lord when he comes." And I'm going to run up to him and say, "I'm glad to see you again." And they're going to say, "Well, it hadn't been that long." It's just like that. It's just yesterday I left. I said, "What time to God? Time shall be no more." That's what Scripture says. Hours and days, it seems like a long time since they went away. But when we go away, when he calls, he said he'll call. At the end of my appointed time, he'll call. And it'll seem like a moment. Just like going to bed at night and sleeping. The next morning, you've been there 6, 8 hours, but it seems like a minute. But that's the way our death will be. And he said, he'll call, and I'll answer him. I always did. You know, I did when he called the first time. Called me out of sin, out of darkness, into his kingdom. I came. Called me by his gospel. When he called a second time and we die and go to glory, when he said come, you came. And when he calls the third time out of the grave, we'll come out. And listen to this. Now watch this great statement. And thou, God, will have a desire to the work of God's hands. You know what that means? God will have a desire, the fulfillment of his desire, the fulfillment of his purpose, the work of his hands. What are the work of his hands? Our souls were marred by sin, and he made them new, like the potter made the clay into a beautiful vessel. And our bodies were destroyed by sin, and he's going to make them over again. And in body and soul, we're going to be just like Christ. That's right. And his work is not complete till it's so. God has set out, like I said at the beginning of this message, God who made the heavens and the earth and said it's good. That God is going to make a people out of this race just like Christ someday. We don't look much like Christ now. We don't act much like Christ. Soul and body. But someday, he's going to conform us perfectly to the image of his Son, and that at that time, he that hath begun a good work in you will perfect it when Christ comes. And he's going to have the desire to the work of his hands. He's going to say, good. It's good. It's perfect. This is what I set out to do. Make you like Christ. You see that? He'll have the desire of the work of his hands. Now, old Job's a human, And humans make statements like this in verse 16. And it's the last question. For now thou numberest my steps. Job's a man of limited knowledge and human fears, just like us. He says, Lord, I know you number my steps. All my ways you know. All my paths you know. My goings and my doings are known to thee. My thoughts, nothing hid from God. He knows us inside and out. He knows our motives, our thoughts, our desires, our foolishness, our silly words, our thoughts before we think them, our deeds before we do them. Job says here, you number my steps. I don't take a step without his perfect knowledge of it. Do you also look at my sins? Is that also, Lord, in your vision? Is that, you number my steps, and you know my ways, and every word I speak. Do you also watch over my sins? Do you look upon my sins, my imagination, my thoughts, my failures? You know the answer to that question? No. No. I remember your sins no more. God doesn't see our sins. I know that's very difficult for human nature and human wisdom to even get a hold of. But the Scripture says, it says here, my transgressions are sealed up in a bag, dumped into the deepest sea, sewed up, done away with, put away, remembered no more. Past, present, and future. There's no such thing in the life of a child of God in the eyes of his God as sin. For in Christ there is no sin, and we're in Christ. That's so. And he watches my steps and numbers my steps and orders my steps. But this sin business Christ took care of a long time ago and put them away. And they are no more. Now that's, I remember your sin. Well, death is not so hard to talk about when you talk about it in the light of Christ, in the light of hope. Talk about death only as loss, but to die is not loss, it's gain for a believer. And when we talk about it and think about it and study it, it'll be a good time. It'll be a glad day when we leave here and go to be with Him. Our Father, bless the word to our hearts. Help us to enter into this peace that David knew. I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Help us to enter into this desire and rest that Paul talked about when he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And this daily walk, as Abraham of old, who was a sojourner, he was looking for a city which hath foundations and never be moved, whose builder and maker is our God. Lord, give us a rest and a peace and a joy pertaining to this critical time, old age and death. Give us peace. Enable us to say, Lord, thy will be done. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray, amen.